I Recording have in progress.
Spoken to at least one person who has probably walked about 2 miles to be here this morning. And also want to say thank you to Kyle. Ruben is on leave, and Kyle was the perfect stand-in pianist this morning because Kyle lives near Downpatrick. So a special thank you to Kyle for traveling from Downpatrick this morning and being with us to lead. Also, we have a slightly ad hoc assembled praise group. Some of these folks were due to be on. Some folks were not able to be here this morning. So really appreciate people's flexibility this morning. Really appreciate the guys, most of whom, to be honest, are still out in the car park. And thank you to those who have come down to do that. The other thing is, obviously, just at the end of the service, we do have tea and coffee. And the good news is, Oliver and Sam had their coffee morning yesterday, and there's buns and all left over for that. So there is opportunity to enjoy tea, coffee, buns. Whenever you're leaving, do be particularly careful. Just go really, really slowly out in the car park. Just look out for each other. Hold on to children. But it is really good to be together here this morning. We have children's provision prime time for children of primary school and pre-primary age. We don't have a supervised creche this morning, but the welcome area is available as a creche space. So those of you who have very young children, whenever we come to the talk part of the service, you're very welcome to go out into the welcome area, get a sofa, you'll be able to see the talk, listen to the talk, and the kids will be able to, I think there's some toys maybe as well about that the kids will be able to play with, but that will be parent supervised this morning, again, just with some folks not being able to be here unexpectedly. Can I mention to you that announcements are in the bulletin sheet? That gets emailed out. There's also some hard copies of the bulletin available in the welcome area. And arrangements this week include a midweek on Wednesday evening and other groups. You'll see your arrangements from the bulletin. Can I mention to you about fellowship groups? So fellowship groups, those are home-based groups, are due to begin again on Wednesday, the 14th of January. And study books are available for purchase today for £4. Nessie has those out in the welcome area. And this term, we are going to be studying the opening book, the opening chapters of Revelation. So we're going to be looking at the first three chapters of Revelation. And just to give you a sort of a longer-term heads up, all being well, the plan is that that series will lay the foundations for a later series where we will, all being well, make it through to the end of Revelation. So that's in sight. But the study books, which are entitled Do Not Be Afraid, are available this morning. And for £4, you'll get a study book, and you'll also get a little copy of the text of Revelation. And you may wish to have that for your study. You may wish to bring that to church with you, because we're going to be doing that on Sunday mornings as well. I know I enjoy sometimes underlining stuff, writing in the margin or whatever. And even if you're not in a fellowship group, you're very welcome to buy one of the study books if you would find that helpful. That's a resource we've produced in-house. So if you find that helpful, you're very welcome to buy one, even if you're not in a fellowship group. And if you would like to join a fellowship group for the first time, they meet in person on Wednesday nights. We've also a group that meets on a Thursday night. And you're part of the life of the church here, and you'd be interested in that, speak to me, or there's a little sign-up sheet out in the welcome area. Today's the first Sunday in the month, and you can give an offering today after the service, and you can still do that this afternoon between 3 and 3:30. Is that right? Yeah, that's still good to go. And thank you again to the guys who are sorting that out. Prayer Central is on tonight. What we're going to do is we're going to move that exclusively onto Zoom. So I've sent out an email, and that has, there are different Zoom codes for this evening than the normal morning ones. So if you'll have received an email, and if you haven't got that email, if you contact me, I can give you the Zoom codes for Prayer Central tonight at 7 p.m. In the Bible, we read these words. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. You are precious and honored in my sight. I love you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. We're going to begin by singing together our opening praise, Be Thou My Vision. It's been great over the Christmas period to see folks coming home, to be home over Christmas and New Year. Really good to see Scarlett, and wish you well as you go back to Liverpool in due course. And we're going to pray together at this stage. One of the things I really appreciate in the life of the church is the variety and the number of people who are able to give us a lead in terms of taking part in our services. And as we pray together at the beginning of this new year, I'm going to invite Lisa to come and lead us in prayer.
Let's pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the year that's passed and for your many blessings.
Your love for us never fails, and we praise and thank you for the hope we have for the year ahead. We look at the wonder of your beautiful creation and how you align everything according to your will. Thank you, Lord, that we are precious in your sight and you generously provide all of our needs. We pray for your continued guidance in our lives and finding strength in your presence as we look forward in prayer and in the new year. Thank you for the most precious gift of salvation as we trust in Jesus and the comfort and peace this brings to us. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, and we ask all these things in your precious name. Amen.
Lovely how sometimes when you haven't collaborated on things, the Bible verse we shared at the beginning of the service picked up on that idea that you are precious, and Lisa picked up on that in her prayer without any collaboration. Maybe there's just a wee word for you this morning to hear that and to know that you are precious, and you're precious to the Lord and precious to him as we enter this new year. Boys and girls, do you want to come up to the front and we will get a chat and a talk together? So, there is still something in this room this morning that won't be here in this room later on in the week. What do you think that is? What's in this room at the morning, in the minute, but won't be here in a few days' time? Can anybody guess? Look around. What do you think? Shall I? The Christmas tree. We are squeezing the very last out of Christmas, so we are this morning. And underneath the Christmas tree, what are there underneath the Christmas tree? Yes, Grace, what are there? Would you bring me one of them over? Would you and Nathan go and get me a present and bring it over? You go and get me a present. Yeah, anyone. Maybe your mummy will help. Let's see. What do I have? You give me one. Yeah. Thank you very much. Now, look at this, because these are underneath the Christmas tree. And this is something that we have been getting over Christmas. Whenever we get a present and whenever we get a gift. And lots of different things have arrived. And lots of different people have maybe said to you over Christmas, there is a present that I would like you to have. And then you unwrap it, and I'm not going to unwrap this one because these are for decoration underneath the Christmas tree, but you unwrap it and you throw the wrapping paper everywhere and you say, oh, look what I got. Look at the present I got. And that is a wonderful thing. The Bible tells us that God loves to give us things. He loves to give us things. And one of the things that God gives us is he gives us, there's going to be a picture on the screen. Let's see the picture on the screen. What does God love to give us? Let's go next. He loves to give us, what's that? A new year. A new year. And if you look at that, can you see, if you look carefully, it says the year on that. What's the year? What year are we now into? Yeah, Sammy. 2026. It's a new year. And what's the first month of 2026 called? What's this month called? That's right, it's called January. And what day is this? Because the thing is, God doesn't just give us a whole year all at once and say, look, there's a whole big bump, there's a whole year. Or he doesn't even give us a whole month and say, look, there's a whole month. He gives us this year one day at a time. What day is today? Sunday. And can anybody work out or look even from that calendar what the date is? Yeah, Emily? It's Sunday, the 4th of January, 2026. This is the day that God has given us today, and he's given us this day like a present, like a gift, and it's something to be enjoyed, and it's something to be received. It's a gift from God. There's a verse in the Bible, and it says this. It says, "This is the day that the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and be glad in it." So that verse in the Bible encourages us not to think about yesterday, because yesterday is gone. But neither does it encourage us to think about tomorrow, because tomorrow's not here yet. What day does it encourage us to think about? It encourages us to think about today, because this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now, do you think we could learn to say that verse together? So say it all together, boys and girls, right? The Bible says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Psalm 118, verse 24. Think we could try it again? Let's have some words disappearing. Joey, can you make words magically disappear? You can. 1, 2, 3. The Bible says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Psalm 118, verse 24. Joey, go ahead. Boom. "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Psalm 118, verse 24. Go ahead, Joey. Boom. "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Psalm 118, verse 24. Boys and girls, I want you to remember that every day this year. That every day is like a gift, it's like a present from God Himself, also called the Lord. And He gives us each day to enjoy it, to rejoice in it, to be glad in it. A special gift from Him to us. We only know all of that because it tells us that in the Bible. And that verse came from a book in the Bible called the Book of Psalms. And we're going to sing a song now that uses another line from the Book of Psalms. And it talks about how God's word is like a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It shows us the way. And go on to the next verse, Joy. And on to the next one. Because that particular line is from a bit of the Bible, Psalms called Psalm 119, verse 105. So that's the plan. Joy, go all the way back to the beginning. Don't make any words disappear. And let's stand together and sing. And then, boys and girls, you're going to be going out this morning for prime time. Okay.
Show me the way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light.
I'm smiling. The abominable snowman has just wandered in at the back. Only Johnson could already have done a church service somewhere at this time of the morning. And was it cancelled? Okay. He was due to be down in Belfast this morning somewhere preaching. But lovely to be together. And I came across something a while ago. It was an order of service from the first service that was held in this building. This building opened in 1976. There'd been a work on this site from a few years earlier in 1972, but the building itself opened in 1976. I'm looking around me. Victor and June, would you have been here in first service 1976? And one of the things in the service outline that day was a prayer, and it reflected upon, it used a little phrase that stuck in my mind. It talked about this building being a house of prayer. That was one of the things, that was one of the original vision, that this would be a house of prayer. And one of the things is, as you know, life is busy. And even sometimes I think when we're on our own, I don't know about you, but I'm inclined to maybe fill that space with noise. You know, you put the radio on, you put the TV on, you look at your phone. We're constantly surrounded by noise. We're constantly surrounded by distraction. And here at the beginning of this new year, the Lord gives us the gift of coming into a house of prayer, a place where we can be still, a place where we can be quiet, and a place where we can seek Him. We're going to come now to our prayers. And what I want to do is, I don't want to fill that time up with a whole lot of my words, but I just want to give some moments of quietness for you just to bring in the silence of your own heart, to bring your own prayers to the Lord at the beginning of this new year. Because there's such a variety of things going on, even in this room, even in the homes of people who are watching on Zoom. And just to give us an opportunity in this place, a place that has so many associations for so many of us, so many memories, memories that are good, memories sometimes that are even painful, memories that are happy, all kinds of things. And just to come at the beginning of this new year and to say, look, here we are. This is the day you've given us, Sunday the 4th of January, 2026. You're with us here, you're with us now, and we just want to seek you in prayer. So let me lead you in prayer as we come to this time. Father, at the very beginning of this service, you reminded us that we are precious to you. And we are precious to you to the point that you gave your only Son, who shed his precious blood so that we could know you. And we could live in this world without fear because we know that you're with us. You reminded us of that in your word at the beginning, and you reminded us again of that as we listened to Lisa's prayer. Lord, at the beginning of this new year, we want to bring our own needs, our own hopes, our own fears, our own vulnerabilities, the things we look forward to, the things we're anxious about. And we want to just bring those to you in prayer, in this house of prayer. Lord, in the quietness, we bring our prayers to you. Lord, we all live our lives in relationship with other people. There are people who are precious to us. There are people who are close to us. There are people who we spend lots of time with, maybe each day, in places like work or at home, at college or at school. Lord, in the quietness, we bring our prayers to you for other people, thinking maybe particularly of someone else who you would put in our heart and our mind at this time. Hear our prayers for others. Hear our prayers for this church family and all that we share in here in Ballyhenry, a place that is so precious to so many of us. The Bible, you talk about blessing people so that they can be a blessing to others. We pray that you'd do that for us in the year to come. We pray that you would bless us abundantly, that we may give that blessing away. And finally, Father, we pray for this, your world. Lord, as another year begins, we are reminded afresh of a world that is so unpredictable, a world that is so far beyond our control. We pray for peace among the nations. We pray for the advance of your kingdom around this world. Be with your people who face unimaginable hurdles and burdens as they seek to serve you in places where their lives are at grave risk for even seeking to meet the way we're doing this morning. Lord, build your people around the world. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this place. Thank you for each other. And thank you for the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing again, and the piece is a prayer in many ways as we come to God's word. Speak, O Lord.
Speak.
number of years ago, a charity now known as the Dogs Trust ran what was to become a very well-known advertising campaign over the Christmas period. It was entitled, "A Dog is for Life, Not Just for Christmas." The target audience were people who were thinking over the festive period of getting a dog, or giving a dog, or who had received a dog. Encouraging people to think beyond Christmas. Christmas is a period when, here in church, we focus in on a particular set of Bible stories. And alongside these stories, we share and we restate certain Bible truths. One of those Christmas truths is found in Matthew's account of the Christmas story, and you'll already have heard this read in recent times here in church. I want to read to you briefly this morning from Matthew chapter 1. So Matthew chapter 1, we're on page 966. It's the account of Joseph being advised that Jesus was going to be born. An angel appears to Joseph, tells him that Mary is going to have a child. And then in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20, and this is on page 965, it says this, "But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us." God with us. That's a wonderful truth. And it's a truth which we spoke about a fortnight ago at our carol service. And in one-to-one conversations, it's a truth that I often find myself sharing with other people around the Christmas period, reading that section of Matthew 1 and focusing in on that wonderful truth, God with us. My Granny Lockhart was always quick off the mark. Before the dessert dishes were cleared on Christmas Day, she would announce, "That's it, all over." Well, however you mark out your Christmas, by now it really is almost over. And very soon the trees will be down, and back to work, and back to school, and back to normal, and into a new year. But as I've been preparing for this morning, I find myself staying with that truth, Emmanuel, God with us. And so in a single talk for the beginning of 2026, this new year, I want to take the title, Emmanuel, a truth that's for life, not just for Christmas. A moment ago, we had a picture on a screen of a manger. And when we think of a manger, we think of Jesus being born, born as it were in the middle of the story that the Bible tells, end of the Old Testament, beginning of the New. But if we imagine that Jesus came into existence when he was laid in a manger, or even that Jesus came into existence 9 months earlier when he was formed in Mary's womb, we will be left with a very, very small picture of Jesus. Turn for a moment to Colossians chapter 1. This is on page 1182. Page 1182, Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17. If you like technical phrases, the word Christology is to do with our view of Christ, our understanding of Christ, our picture of Christ. These verses give us a big Christology. They give us a bigger picture of Jesus. They open our eyes to who he really is and to see the work of his hands in everything. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17, we read this. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him, that is in Jesus, all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him, that is Jesus, and for him, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. It's 2026. We've never been here before. Many of us would say we are stepping into this new year as followers of Jesus, but how big is our picture of who Jesus is? The Bible opens our eyes to see that Jesus has been there from the beginning. He was active alongside his Father and the Holy Spirit in the creation of all things. He was there in the beginning. But that's not all. Next week, as I've mentioned, we're going to be starting a new series on the book of Revelation. Turn for a moment to Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. So this is on page 1250. So we've thought about the very beginning. Let's think about the very end. Revelation 22, verse 1. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And then verse 3, no longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. Who's the Lamb? Do you remember the beginning of John's Gospel? Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the Lamb. And where's Jesus at the end of all things? He's on a throne, seated beside God, his Father. So here's a picture of the end of all things. At the center of all reality, there is a throne, and Jesus, the Lamb of God, is on the throne. The Bible tells us that Jesus is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is God at the beginning. He is God at the end. He is God with us. In the middle of it all, God with us at every moment in history. And if he has been there from the beginning, and if he will be there at the end, then logic tells us that we can trust him to be there at every moment in the year that is ahead. But there's a second wonderful truth contained in the name Emmanuel, and that is that he is God with us in every detail of our lives. The Bible reveals a God who's interested in the details of our lives. If God wasn't interested in it, why would the Bible writers include so much detail about the lives of people like Moses, David, Esther, Paul? The Bible shows us real people living real lives and responding to God in faith in the midst of those lives, amidst the real and often complicated stuff of life. One of those stories in the Old Testament is the story of Jacob. We meet Jacob when he's young. He's busy, he's active, he's rushing around. We track through as he eventually gets married and as he becomes a father and eventually a grandfather. We see him in moments of joy. We see him in seasons of tragedy. And then we encounter him in the stillness of old age. There's a great line in the middle of the Jacob's story. It's an in-between moment in his life. He has left a place that he was familiar with, and he's heading to somewhere that he doesn't know. It's one of those pivot points in the story. I wonder, did you know that the name January comes from the ancient mythical god Janus? And Janus was pictured as a god whose head faced two ways at once. January is a time of being in between. It's a time of looking back. It's a time of looking forward. And into this Janus moment, this pivotal point in Jacob's life, we find Genesis 28, verse 15. Genesis 28, verse 15, and this is on page 30. It's a verse that drops in the middle of his story. His story is a complicated story. His life, a web of complicated relationships. Wrongs have been done to Jacob, and Jacob has done wrong to other people. But God didn't let go of Jacob, and one night in a dream, at the side of a dusty road, God made a promise to Jacob. He said, I am with you, and will watch over you wherever you go. I am with you, and will watch over you wherever you go. It's an Old Testament verse that points forward to how God would one day come to be with his people. Has Jesus come to be with his people in certain places or on certain days or in special moments? Does Jesus promise to be with us simply when we're in this building? Or does he promise to be with us in a compartmentalized section that we might describe as our Christian lives? No. He is Emmanuel. He has come to be with us in every detail of our lives. And that's why the God of the Bible is as capable of stepping into Jacob's life as he lay down and slept at the side of the road as he is of revealing his glory in the temple in Jerusalem, which would later be built. Never imagine that anything about your life is too big that God cannot handle it. And never imagine that anything about your life is too small or too mundane that he is not interested in it. Wherever you go in this year that is to come, he promises to watch over you and to be with you. God with us at every moment in history, God with us in every detail of our lives, but a third truth steps out ahead of us into the year that's to come, and that is Jesus is Emmanuel. He is God with us in whatever circumstances we face. I know some of you enjoy watching soaps on TV, and as the years go by, the characters in your favorite soap get older, and the circumstances of their lives change, sometimes in unexpected ways, sometimes in ways that you would anticipate. Well, what is true in fiction is true in fact. Every year takes us into new situations. Some of those we anticipate. Maybe you are sitting here this morning and there are changes, there are opportunities, there are challenges that you can see coming down the track this year, and you maybe already have them, as it were, written in your diary. But of course, as any year teaches us, there's stuff that will come, but you can't see it at the moment. And add into that the fact that we live in a very uncertain world with big variables at play that are far beyond our control. I was chatting to one of our oldest members this week, a lady who just last week turned 93. She has seen a lot of life. She has been through a lot. She doesn't get out to church anymore, but she's blessed with a clear mind. And looking back over her life, she was sharing with me how God has been faithful to her, given her courage when life has been tough, given her hope when the future has been unclear, provided for her needs when life circumstances suddenly changed. In her hall, she has a little plaque. And I asked her if I could take a picture of it to show you this morning. The verse on it comes from the Old King James Version. It's from Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. The testimony of one quiet member of Ballyhenry. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. A promise tried and tested over 90 years. God with his people in every situation that they face. Do you see the picture that emerges as we anchor ourselves in this great truth that in Jesus, God is with us? He's with us at every moment in history. He's with us in every detail of our lives. He's with us in whatever circumstances we face. But let me give you one more. He is with us in everything. Ordinary, everyday life is lived out in ordinary, everyday places. And for some of you, this incoming week is a week of being back to school. It's a week perhaps of preparing to go back to college or back to work or back to making lunches or sitting in traffic or sitting at home or maybe not seeing many people from day to day or back into a round of medical appointments or other things. There's a lovely hidden detail in another Old Testament story. It's in the story of Joseph. If you know that story, you'll know that the passing years in Joseph's life brought many ups and downs in his own situation and in his own circumstances and in the world in which he lived. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 39. This is on page 43. Genesis 39, page 43. Early in this chapter, Joseph found himself working in the house of a high-ranking official called Potiphar. Joseph's early life, up to about the age of 17, was what you might describe as a golden existence. He was the favorite son in the family. Life was great and good. But then he arrives as a slave in Egypt. But then things turn good for him again because he ends up being in the home of a respected Egyptian official. He is promoted. He does well. This is a good season in Joseph's life, and it's a time of peace and prosperity in his life. And in Genesis 39, verse 2, the narrator of Genesis wants us to file a particular detail. It says this, Genesis 39, verse 2. This is a good time. The Lord was with Joseph. Things are going well for Joseph. And the narrator wants us to know that the Lord was with Joseph. But then, falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, the wheels come off and Joseph ends up in prison. This is life at its lowest point. Joseph is in a hopeless place at this moment. He is literally in the depths. He is forgotten. Through Joseph's eyes, this is the end of the story. But what does the narrator want us to know? Well, in Genesis 39, verse 21, we read this. 39:21, while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. And God is not just with him, God is for him. Working every detail of his life in a way that was for his good and for God's glory. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul reasons this out, focusing in on the cross, and he says this. He says this is in Romans 8. Look, if God gave up his own son for you, is he not going to give you everything you need? You see, the promise that in Jesus God is with us is what is sometimes called a covenant promise. A covenant promise is a promise given to someone who's living in a relationship. And so if you've never taken the step of placing your life in the hands of Jesus, that promise, God is with us, becomes an invitation. Allow his love to find you. Open your heart to Jesus. Enter into a relationship with him and know that in him, God comes to be with you. And for those who are in relationship with Jesus, Emmanuel becomes a wonderful truth to take forward from here. God is with us, not a truth to be left on the shelf until next Christmas, but a truth to live with every day that he gives us in this incoming year. I came across a song recently. It was recorded just last year, and it weaves together themes that we've been reflecting on this morning. New Year can be an anxious time, and sometimes the theme of New Year can almost have a certain moribund feel to it. You know, focusing on endless unknowns, endless uncertainties. But friends, this thing we know, if we are in Christ, God is with us. And that promise that Jesus would be Emmanuel comes as an opening line in a story that announces the inbreaking of God's kingdom. It's a forward-looking promise. It's a confidence-giving promise. It's a joyful promise. It's a promise that anticipates blessing that is given to be shared with others. And so this song, which we're going to listen to, is a God-centered song, but it's also a hopeful song. It's a song with a bounce in it. A song of worship, a song of anticipation, a song of promise, a song for 2026. I've printed the words on the sheet, not so that you can sing along. You'll quickly realize that that would be an ambitious project, but rather that you can listen and reflect upon this great promise. There is a bounce to this song, but there's also an awful lot in the words. There's a lot of Christology in this song. And so I would encourage you to take these words away and reflect upon them. This song is also very accessible online if you want to listen to it again. A truth that is for life, not just for Christmas. Jesus is Emmanuel. God with us at every moment in our lives. God with us in whatever circumstances we face. God with us in everything. Let me see if I can do something that I was too nervous to do on any Sunday over Christmas. Somebody can just do it outside. I can turn the lights out. Turn the lights out. Let's get this. I got one out. Turn the lights out. So this is a girl called Philippa Hannah, and she is singing this song entitled, "This Is the Day." Still. those of you who are watching on Zoom, I'm not sure how that came across. If you didn't get it clearly, if you Google Philippa Hannah, this is the day you will be able to listen to that. Friends, let me pray with you. Lord, this is the life you have given us. Tomorrow's gone. Tomorrow's not here yet, and yesterday's gone. And we're here today. This is the day. This is the day you have made. Lord, help us to live this year, one day at a time. And wherever we are, or whatever is going on, or whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, help us to know and experience Emmanuel. God is with us. And Lord, if this morning we are still bravely trying to do this stuff on our own, help us even here and even now to say, I'm done with this. I want to hand myself over to you. And I want you to be with me. And in faith, I believe that you will. Lord, plant the cross at the center of our minds today, that God is for us, even when we don't understand, and even when life's tough, and even when we feel afraid. And Lord, may you take us forward in this place this year. Give us joy. And may there be good times ahead together in this place and in our everyday lives. Good times because we know that you're there. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to conclude by singing a great piece which gathers this all together. It's the piece, Emmanuel.
Shall begin.
we want to bring the boys and girls in? And come on in. Do let me encourage you to stay behind for a cup of tea and coffee and juice. And as I say, there are buns from the Poland coffee morning yesterday. And when you're going out to your car, there are guys out in the car park who have been clearing paths and whatnot. Don't be afraid to ask for help if you would appreciate somebody taking your arm. And just let's look after each other as we get home. And do remember Prayer Central tonight, available on Zoom. Folks, Christmas is over. But Jesus is Emmanuel. He's with us. And in that peace and in that assurance, we go from here. Amen.